Many Christians have lived in poverty because they were taught that tithes and offerings is in the Old Testament and not in the New. It's important that you listen to this and resist the devil's lie that the pastor is just trying to get your money. Don and I started this church from zero. I never worked a secular job. I just pastored a church that didn't exist. And God brought in all the money we needed. So I don't need your money. Not looking for your money. God's going to take care of me. Always has and always will. But I'm going to tell you, once again, how to be blessed. He said, well, you talked about tithing last week. Yes, and I got through about half of my scriptures, and you need all of them. Yay. And so I believe this would, I know it'll change your life, because I've had several people in this church tell me that this message on tithes and giving and offerings has changed the world. They've gone, in many cases, from being bankrupt and broke to being wealthy, because God blesses those who obey him with the dollar they have. God, but you need to, hey, you can't just believe God for anything. You got to know it's in the Bible. You have to have something to believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you're going to believe that God blesses you as a tither and a giver, you need to know it's in the Word of God. Otherwise, you can't believe it. You can't just say, I'm going to believe something. You have to have a reason to believe it. And that reason is the Bible, the Word of God. God says, Paul says, the Lord commanded, this little review from last week, the Lord commanded that the gospel be supported in the same way as the Old Testament ministry. People have taught, of course, nearly all churches believe in tithes and offerings. That's the only way they can pay their bills. But there have been some teaching people, well, it's not God's will for you to tithe. The Bible says it is. And you can believe somebody that's inspired by Satan, or you can believe the Word of God. As we saw last week, 1 Corinthians 9:13 says, don't you know that those who work in the temple, I read this last week, but this is kind of our text, don't you know that those who work in the temple, in the church, get their food from the temple, from the church? He's talking about the Levites. There were 12 tribes, and the Levites, that one tribe, was called to be ministers, to take care of the temple, take care of the church, of the Old Testament church, so to speak. And they were not allowed to have property, except a house and a garden space. They were not allowed to work, except taking care of God's house, taking care of the temple. And from the Levites came the priests. They had to have a way to eat. And then those who did the sacrifices and those who did the singing and the special music, all those people were Levites, and there had to be a way to finance them. Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple? That's the Levites. And those who serve at the altar, sharing what is offered on the altar. When they sacrificed animals by the thousands to cover, they shed the blood and sprinkled it to cover the sins of the people. Then they burned the fat. That needs to tell you something. You burn the fat, don't eat it. But then they all got the meat. People said, well, meat's not good for you. Well, too much may not be, but too much of anything is not good for you. It's all in temperance, but they got the meat. And Paul is saying, don't you know that those who work in the temple, the preachers, the ministers, the youth pastors, the singers that are paid, get their food from the temple. And those are the full-time employees that do God's work only. And those who serve at the altar, sharing what is offered on the altar. So the ministers in the temple receive their income from tithes and offerings, and so do modern ministers. That's the way we're all paid. Well, we shouldn't give our tithes. Well, what you want to do, starve us out? And all churches preach tithes and offerings, unless they want to go bankrupt. In the same, verse 14, in the same way the Lord has commanded. Say, in the same way. What way? Tithes and offerings. In the same way the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. It says the Lord has commanded it. Paul says that Jesus commanded that the New Testament ministers be paid the same way, and that same way is tithes and offerings. Now, this is, it's not recorded in the Gospels, as I shared last week. So I said this is a little bit of a review, but you got to have this to build on for the rest of the scriptures I'm going to give you. This is not recorded in the Gospels that it is a quote from Jesus, but Paul said he said it. Everything Jesus said and did is not recorded in the Gospels. John chapter 21, verse 25, it says, "And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." And John says everything's not recorded here. If everything he did is recorded, there wouldn't be enough books. The world couldn't hold all the books because he did so many great things for people. Well, what if they wrote books about his sermons? We don't know very much about his sermons. What if the books on that, whether there's a sermon where he really preached this? Support the New Testament ministry the same way you preach the, support the Old Testament ministry. Paul says he did preach that somewhere. I'd love to have a book of his sermons, wouldn't you? But they didn't do that. Romans, Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Paul says, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Preachers quote that all the time, and it's not in the Gospels either. There's no quote in the Gospels that says Jesus said that. But Paul says he said both of them. Paul says, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus." And where was Paul getting it? He was getting it from the New Testament believers. Yeah. And probably the apostles. Because Paul didn't really know Jesus personally. He got his information from the disciples and from other people. And he says, "I'm told that Jesus said this." And he is saying it for a fact. That he commanded that the New Testament church be financed the same way as the Old Testament temple. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And people hear that and don't even know what that means. This is not in the Gospels either, but it is quoted as a word from Jesus Christ. And what does it mean, more blessed to give than to receive? It means God blesses the giver, but not the receiver. When you give, you're blessed. But you're not blessed because you take stuff from other people. And when I am blessed by receiving, but then that if I want to continue to be blessed, I got to give. Amen. Jesus said, "Giving shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give in your bosoms." I don't care how people twist that. That's what he said. That's what he meant. I know preachers have used some of these scriptures and abused them, try to milk money out of people. But if you have two eyes and two ears and you have ability to understand English, you know that it's not what I'm doing. I'm giving you the word of God, and you decide what you want to do. I don't check up on people. You do what you want to do. If you want to be blessed, you may want to look at these scriptures very closely. Here is a quote from Jesus, if you want one from him, Matthew 23:23. "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Boy, I mean, some of you think I'm hard. I don't go around calling people hypocrites. I mean, Jesus laid it out just like it is. He said, "You bunch of hypocrites. For you tithe," listen, "you tithe on mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, such as justice, mercy, and faithfulness." What does it mean, "you tithe on mint and dill and cumin"? They tithed even on the herbs. If you had 10 mints, you took one and gave it to the Lord. And boy, they were sticklers, but yet they weren't too concerned about justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And then it says Jesus said, these are the things you should have done, justice, mercy, and faithfulness, without neglecting the other. What's the other? The tithes. He said you should not neglect your tithes. Well, it's not in the New Testament. Well, there it is right there. You see, when you go to the Bible and you want to prove something, you can prove it. But when you go to the Bible to know what God really says, and that's your only motive, God will show you the truth. Amen. And we need to go to the Bible and get the truth. Because I guarantee you, tithes and offerings will make a difference in your financial well-being. I guarantee it. And I've got probably, that I know of, 2/3 of the people sitting here right now would jump up and testify if I would shut up long enough. And I'm not going to. But he says, "But these are the things you should have done." Isn't that interesting? "Without neglecting the others." He wanted to make sure they did not think he was saying, "Do not tithe." Jesus said, you should have kept justice, mercy, and faithfulness without neglecting tithing. Jesus placed his approval on tithing right there. My mother, even though we didn't go to church, sometimes Dad would take us to Baptist church, but even then, a lot of times, Mom didn't want to go. And she just believed a little bit different, and thank God she did, because she taught me some things I really needed to know. At 5 years old, my mother taught me to tithe. She held up a dime, and she said, every dime you get, you give God a penny. She probably don't even remember telling me that, but I remember it at 5 or 6 years old. So far as I know, I've tithed on every dime I ever got. But I did not know anything about giving offerings above the tithe. So on my last year in seminary, I had to work my way through college 4 years and seminary 3 years. And I had to work and pay for it myself. My daddy would not give me any money for my education. And I thank God he didn't. Because I can tell you can trust God. Now I had to work. I had to work a part-time job and in the summertime full-time job. But me and God got it done. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? And so in my last year of seminary, the Lord told me to give $100 to a certain ministry. He promised I would never have financial problems again if I did it. Well, in my mind, I thought he meant if you give an offering this one time, you'll never have any more financial problems. But that was not what he meant. He meant I would be blessed if I became a generous giver above the tithe. For the first time in 7 years of my college and seminary experience, I was in my last year of seminary, and I was beginning to run out of money, and I needed that $100 to pay some bills. And so I began to drag my feet. Lord, I can't give this money up. But I never could get past that. In here, I kept hearing God say, you give that $100. So finally, I wrote a check and mailed away my $100, and my money was gone. And so I drove over to the church where I was associate pastor, and they were paying me $25 a week. They knew what I was worth. Thank God you do not know what I'm worth. And so I think it was the same day I mailed that check. I walked into his office. I went in, and he was a pretty busy guy, but he invited me in, and I went in. I didn't go to ask him for anything. I was just over there for some reason. I don't remember the reason I was there. And he said, Barry, you need more money. I said, yes, I do. He said, I want to double your pay today. And he doubled it to $50 a week. Now, you think that's kind of pitiful, but back then, that was a ton of money. That was a lot of money. And I was able to finish my seminary and to have plenty of money to get through that year. I'm telling you, you got to obey God with the money you have. Amen. And that's why I don't try to milk you out of money. If you give for the wrong reasons, you may not be blessed. You give because you have a peace in here. This is what God wants me to do, and I'm going to do it if it kills me. And you've got to learn how to hear his voice. My sheep know my voice. And when he's speaking to you, you will know it and do it. So my pay was doubled, and I was able to finish seminary. We must obey God in all our giving, tithes, offerings, and even alms given to needy people. Matthew 6:3, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So that is alms when you give to needy people. It's called alms. And it says, do not let anyone know what you're doing. In other words, do it in secret. And what he means by that is, do not do it to be seen of men. You know, you don't have to keep everything secret, because people need to hear your testimony. And so fasting, well, you can't tell anybody. Well, how do you call a 21-day fast and not tell anybody? It means do not do it, and it actually says that, do not do it to be seen of men. That is the sin, is when you give, say, hey, look at me, what I'm doing. It's okay to let people know you're giving, and when he blesses you, you can testify. Verse 4, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. But no matter what you believe about that, it says if you give to needy people, God will reward you and bless you. You can say anything you want to say. That's what Jesus said. The Father will reward those who give to the needy person, to the needy missionary, to the needy church, to the needy evangelist, to needy, needy, needy. And he rewards those who give tithes and offerings. You see, we must obey God in all of our giving and allow him to direct our giving. But we know from Scripture he honors tithing. Matthew chapter 3, Malachi. Got to get that right. Malachi 3, 8. Will a man rob God? Will a woman rob God? Will yet you're robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you? Why is this in the Bible? How have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Well, that's in the Old Testament. Well, according to Paul, Jesus said God wants us to support the New Testament church the same way they did the Old Testament church, the Old Testament ministry, the Old Testament temple. A member wanted to talk to me one day many years ago, and I went to a restaurant, and he began to tell me about all of his financial problems, and he couldn't get promoted, couldn't get any decent raises. He bought a piece of property, he and some guys, as an investment on Kingston Pike. It should have been worth a fortune, and they lost it. And he was telling me all of this, and I was seeing in my mind like a neon sign going on and off, tithe, tithe, tithe. And I asked him, I said, he's a member of the church. I said, are you tithing? I don't normally ask that, but he was telling me about all of his problems. He wanted me to help him. And I said, are you tithing? He says, no. I said, that's your problem. You need to start tithing. He started tithing and things turned around. And then one day he was in the back of the church. He leaned up against the wall writing out a check. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm getting this curse off of me. He got tempted because he got short on money and quit tithing. And then all these curses came back on him, and so he's back there in the back writing out a check. He's going to drop it in offer plate right then to get that curse off of him. And Malachi goes on to say, I rebuke the devourer for your sake. And to me, that's the greatest promise. What is the greatest devourer, as we saw last week? Sickness and disease. To me, that's a healing scripture. Devil, you can't put that on me because I'm a tither. Because that will devour my money. Sickness devours money more than about anything else in America. So, anyway, he started tithing. We cannot say tithes and offerings is not God's will just because it's taught in the Old Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. When he said all scripture, what scripture did they have? Old Testament only. They didn't have the New Testament. Of course, it includes the New Testament now. All scripture, including the New Testament today, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, profitable for teaching on tithing, profitable for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 7. I'm glad you got a preacher that studies the Bible. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, equipped unto all good works. You see, we no longer live by the old covenant in all of its legalism, but the Old Testament contains more than the old covenant laws. Jesus Christ fulfilled all the laws of sacrifice, you know, and circumcision and all that. He is our sacrifice, and we're circumcised in our hearts. But we don't have to do it in the flesh the way they did under the Old Testament law. But the Old Testament still contains more than just the legalism of the Old Covenant. It contains truth, examples, testimonies, and promises that are for God's spiritual Jews today. For example, we claim Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not lack. Can you believe that's a word from God? It's in the Old Testament. And then Psalm 91, he that dwells in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say, the Lord is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. Do you want that? It's in the Old Testament. If you obey my voice, you hearken to my voice, these blessings will come on and overtake thee. Blessed to be in the city, blessed to be in the field, blessed to be the fruit of the... How many want that? You can't just start throwing things out because it happens to be in the Old Testament. But the legalism, all the sacrifices and all the feasts and everything, that's fulfilled in Christ. You don't have to do that. I know there's some people today teach you even got to do that. But you don't. Anyway, I don't have time to preach that sermon. Moving on. You see, and how many like this story as an example of David and Goliath? I just talked about that the other day. I mean, that's one of the greatest stories in the Bible, and it's our example of how we can go against our enemies in faith, and God will deliver us. You want to throw that out? But I'm going to keep it, thank you. I think most of you agree. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning. The Old Testament was written for our learning about miracles, about faith, about tithing, and many other things. The 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction. He's talking about the Old Testament. They were written for our instruction upon whom the ends of the ages have come. You see, the New Testament says the Old Testament was written for our learning and instruction. Learning about what? Tithes and offerings, you know, and fasting and all kind of good things. But you still don't keep the legalism of the law. You can eat catfish if you want to die early. And all the food things, you know, in there. It's not legalism I have to do, but you're probably wise to pay attention, because God knew even back then what food was good and what wasn't.
Right.
How many know if you eat too much bacon, you're going to die? I just ate a McDonald's, bacon, egg, and cheese yesterday, but I don't eat one every day. Thank you, Jesus. But the point is, the Old Testament was written for our learning, and you can learn a lot of health rules from the Old Testament, and they're right on the money. They match right up with modern science. But the point is, you can't throw out everything in the Old Testament. So there is a lot of confusion about where the tithe is to be given. And this is very important. If you're giving your tithe to some place that's not good ground, if you're giving it to the wrong place, God may not honor that. He may not consider it a tithe. So let's see what the Bible says, and you make up your own mind. I'm not going to just come in the pulpit like most preachers and say, you got a tithe because the Bible says so. I do not do that. I got to take some time to tell you why I believe that. So there is a lot of confusion about where the tithe is to be given. I've heard it said you tithe wherever you're fed. No, you tithe where the Levites are fed. You tithe where the full-time ministers are fed and taken care of. The full-time minister. Now, I know there's been a lot of teaching contrary to the Word of God. I'm just here to preach it, not to debate. I don't debate. God didn't call me to debate. He just called me to get up, read the Word of God. And you can take it or leave it. You can do with it what you want. I do not follow up on people. I preach the Word of God, and as soon as I get out of here, I go to lunch. What you do is your business. I'm just to give you the scriptures. 2 Chronicles. I'm in a hurry, so pray I get all this right. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 4. This is King Hezekiah. He ordered the people living in Jerusalem to give the portion, listen, due to the Levites. The people quit tithing. Like some of us, they get tempted, get in the financial bind and say, well, I just can't tithe this week. Well, if you don't tithe this week, you for sure may not be able to tithe next week. He ordered the people living in Jerusalem to give the portion due the Levites. That would be the tithes. Due the priests. That's the preachers. And the Levites. That would be the singers and the staff and those people who do the sacrifice. All of them were Levites, but they just had different positions. He ordered the people living in Jerusalem to give the portion due the priests and the Levites so they could devote themselves to the law of the Lord. He didn't want them out farming and taking care of cows and chickens and pigs. They didn't have anything to do with pigs, you know. But whatever they were doing, he wanted these people to take care of his ministry and the others to tithe so they could have something to eat. The people had stopped tithing, and it hindered the priests and the Levites. Then they started bringing in their tithes. After Hezekiah ordered the people to tithe, they started tithing. The king ordered them to tithe. You either tithe or I'm going to cut your head off. Verse 10, and Azariah, the chief priest from the family of Zodak, answered. So after Hezekiah gave this order, he went over to check with the priest. And when he got there, it was big piles of food and stuff everywhere. Here was a big stack of watermelons and tomatoes and okra and green beans. Probably different stuff, but you get the point. And Hezekiah says, what is all this stuff? And Azariah, the chief priest from the family of Zadok, answered, since the people began to bring their contributions, bring their tithes to the temple of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and plenty to spare. If people would tithe, the church would not have any problems ever. Well, all the preacher does is beg for money. Well, if you were tithing, we're supposed to, he wouldn't need to beg for money. Is that getting sassy? It's the truth. Thank you for agreeing with that. I need one supporter. When the people started tithing, the church had more than enough. Where did they store the tithe? Here's the Old Testament example. Verse 11. Anyone know the truth? Hezekiah gave orders to prepare storerooms in the temple of the Lord, and this was done. They had storerooms before, but when they quit tithing, they didn't need the storeroom, so they started putting other stuff in there. And so they were told, you clean out those storerooms and put the tithe in there the way you're supposed to. So the storehouse is the church, the house of God, and it was stored in storerooms in that house of God, the temple. That's why it says bring ye all the tithe in the storehouse. The temple was the storehouse. It wasn't grandma's house. Well, I got to give it to grandma. Well, that's an alm above your tithes and offerings. And you need to do that. The storerooms were in the temple. The temple is called the storehouse because that is where the tithe was stored. And when the Levites needed food or whatever, they would go to the temple, and they had Levites in charge of it, and they would give them what they needed. Now, where is the storehouse today? The church. Do we have Levites? Here's one. I was getting a degree to teach school. The Lord spoke to me and said, don't you ever use that degree. I have called you into the ministry, and I will use the ministry to finance you. And here it is in the Bible. This is how he finances his modern-day Levites who work full-time for him and not a secular job. And I could have been a great businessman. You had to be a businessman to build a church. I've had people try to hire me to work for them in a business. But I have to give up the ministry to do it. And the Lord told me, don't you ever take a job outside the ministry. Now, I know other preachers do, and that's in no way reflecting on them. God just told me, you're going to live off the ministry because I don't want you. And, of course, God knows I have a one-track mind. You know, if I get caught up in the business, that's probably all I'd be doing. Verse 12, then they faithfully brought in the contributions, the tithes, and dedicated gifts. Conaniah, a Levite, was in charge of these things, and his brother Shimei. And we like to have a treasure called Shimei. And his brother Shimei was next in rank. You see, the tithe was placed in the storehouse, in the storerooms of the temple or the church, so to speak. Then it was distributed to the Levites as their inheritance. That's their inheritance, is the tithe. Tithes and offerings took care of these full-time working servants of the temple. And that's the same way it is today. If you can find any other plan in the Bible to support the church, let me know right away, because our utility bill along here is somewhere around $5,000 to $6,000 a month. You can't pay that by people dropping a dollar in the offering plate. God's not dumb enough to have a New Testament church and not have a way to finance it. And the Lord says the same way. And then he says, if you bring all your tithes to the storehouse, I rebuke the devourer for you. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 10. Now listen, if I start out to prove something, I'm going to prove it. Listen to this. This is Nehemiah. This is a whole different generation. But they fell in the same trap of not tithing again like a lot of Christians do. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 10. Chapter 13, verse 10. I also learned that the portions assigned to the Levites had not been given to them, and that all the Levites and singers responsible for their service had gone back to their own fields, had gone back to growing their own okra, and growing their own tomatoes and green beans and cantaloupes and watermelons. They're back out there working to produce food rather than taking care of the house of God. Verse 11, so I rebuked the officials and asked them, why is the house of God neglected? Why did you quit tithing? How did they neglect God's house? By keeping the tithe. All Judah brought the tithes of grain, new wine, and oil into the storehouse. So then they began to obey God's word and bring in the tithe. So where did the tithe go? To the storehouse, in the storerooms, in the house of God. There's no other example. In the same way. Verse 13, I put Shelemiah the priest, Zadok the scribe, and a Levite named Pedaiah in charge of the storerooms, bring you all the tithe into the storehouse. And they put the tithe in the storerooms, in the storehouse, in the temple, and these guys were assigned to distribute it. What is that? It's an example of how to finance them. You can't go make it totally legalistic, but it's obvious that God wants the house of God financed the same way. And we live in a whole different generation. We don't bring okra to church. Now, here's the fact. If you grow 10 tomatoes, one is mine. That's a joke. But I will take the tomatoes. If you offer them. They were made responsible. They were made responsible, these officers in charge were made responsible for distributing the supplies to their brothers. The tithe went into the storerooms, in the temple, the storehouse, and was distributed as needed. And this is why Malachi said, Malachi 3:10, this is the famous verse, bring the whole tithe, say whole tithe, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and text me now, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. After I read these other scriptures to you, does this not now make sense? Amen. You bring your tithe into the storehouse that there may be food, provision in my house for my full-time ministers. That's the main goal, is take care of that ministry. And I think that would include buying Sunday school materials and all that because it's part of the ministry. But when you raise money to fix up a building, that's above the tithe. Yeah. I proved that last week. You can get that sermon offline and listen to it. So you bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. The storehouse was the temple, the church that contained the storerooms. God's plan is to finance the New Testament church the same way as he did the Old Testament. If not, we need a plan. We need it pretty quickly. There would not be a church here today without tithes and offerings. It just would not be here. Tithes and offerings is God's only plan to finance the modern church. That's why all churches that I know anything about receive tithes and offerings, because it's the only way they've got to pay the bills. For some strange reason, when a church does things, the merchants expect us to pay the bills. Isn't that odd? It is so odd. It's not odd at all. It's right for us to pay our bills. How are you going to do that? If you don't take tithes, how are you going to do that? You have to have money. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Why is it more blessed to give than to receive? Because God blesses those who give tithes and offerings. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And he even says, once again, I rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And buddy, when the devil comes to steal my stuff and destroy my health and the health of my wife and family, I say, devil, you're not devouring my money with sickness and disease. You get your sickness and disease and get out of here. Can you save me? Let's all stand.